Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. Are you blessed this morning? You know, we serve a God who's overcome all of our problems, everything we can possibly imagine that is before us. Our Lord and Savior has overcome. He's overcome death, hell, and the grave. And we sit and we live in that victory in Him. So this morning, let's worship in that victory. Let's worship in that freedom. For whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. You're free to worship the Lord this morning without any boundaries, without any judgment, without anything on you. Because Jesus Christ has set us free. When we put our faith in Him, we are free indeed. So this morning, church, let's worship in that freedom. Let's worship the Lord because He is worthy of all of our praise. Let's worship Him this morning. Lord, as we come before You, Lord, as the Word said, Lord, You're good to us. Your faithfulness goes beyond what we could ever imagine. Lord, this morning, examine our hearts to see if we're in line with Your will and Your purpose for our life. Lord, for it's Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, it's not our will, it's not our ways, it's You. It's not our ways that could save ourselves. It's not our ways that could set us free. It's not our ways that removes sin and death. It is Your ways. Father, You sent forth Your Son to bring us near to You. Lord, we rejoice in that this morning. And Lord, and let everyone here understand and know that we're called not just to go through the door, but to go further in it. To explore and to find You. As You are sitting on Your throne right now in this moment, Lord, You have everything in Your hands. You are in control. You are God. You are Abba Father. And Lord, we cry to You this morning to bring forth Your will through us as You are transforming us into the image of Your Son. Lord, let us see the purpose of our life. Lord, the purpose of our suffering and the purpose in everything around us. Lord, there's nothing missing in our lives. Lord, let us see it. For You have given us everything we need and everything we could ever desire through Your Son, Jesus. And we rejoice in that. Lord, You are so good. Our words cannot fathom, not articulate how good You are. Bless us this morning and open our hearts as we are about to receive the word. And bless everyone here in Your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. If you want to remain standing, grab your Bible as we get ready to say our confession of God's word so we can open our hearts and open our minds to what God's word, what it has for us this morning. So let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is responsive. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. It looks like we have a little George Strait hangover this morning. Amen. But it's great to have you in the house of the Lord. And, you know, there's something special about the church when we get together in the house of God, in the family of God. Whether it's two of us or 2,000 or 2 million, there's something special when we come together in His name to call upon His name and to understand His ways. So this morning, I want to start with a quote this morning that kind of brings us into what we're going to discuss. And it says, God waits to be wanted. The blood of Christ has opened the way, but we must enter in. You know, that's such a powerful understanding. That God is waiting for us to go through that door that he has created through Jesus Christ, that he consecrated through his son, that he is waiting for us to come into this relationship and to have fellowship with the Father. That was impossible when you think about the old covenant in the old ways, that we could not access God simply by desiring him. But now through his son, through Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus, we have access to the Father and we have access to him right now. So church, this morning, before we go into the word, I want us to ask a question. Are we putting God before all things in our life? What is before God this morning that is getting in the way of us fully understanding and embracing God as Father? You know, he's God to everyone, but is he Father to us? Because we have been granted the great privilege to call God Father and to access him and to understand truly what it means to be brought near by the blood of Jesus. So as we continue our study in Ephesians, I want to go to chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, to truly understand what it means to be brought near the Father and to have access to the throne room of God by what Jesus did. So Paul is continuing this letter, as we talked about last week. Last week we talked about God's great love, his grace for us. But God, when we were dead in trespasses, when we were dead in our sins, but God came. And Paul is continuing this letter, and he's reminding them of who they were. He said, don't forget that you were Gentiles, used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. So what Paul is saying here, there's two groups. There's the Gentiles, those who were outside the promise of God, who did not have access to the promises of God or the covenants of God, who were not in the system of the law. But then there were the Jews themselves that were limited as well, even though they had access to the promises of God and they were doing the sacrifices, they could not go into the most holy place. So both were locked out of God's most sacred place. We were locked out of God's most sacred place because of sin. And even when we tried to cleanse ourselves, we could not do it, and they couldn't either. And he goes on to say, in those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from being citizens among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises of God, what he had made them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. So Paul is painting this picture of what it was without Christ, without that hope. We were living outside the promises of God. And there's many who are living outside the promises of God right now, today. They're trying to find hope in this world. They're trying to find substance in the world, in this world. They're trying to find acceptance in this world, and they will not find it. There's nothing in this world that will accept you and love you like God will. And as we go on, Paul says, but now. I love that. Last week was but God, but now. Paul's saying, now we have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far from God, now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus. You know, if you read and understand what Paul's saying is, you've been brought near, but we have to take that step forward and to embrace the Father, and to move into his realm and into his presence, the most holy place, the most sacred place that used to separate God from man, that has been done away with in Christ Jesus. And now we have access to God through Jesus Christ, and we've been brought near the Father who has all of our answers, who has everything we need. He said he will provide for us. He said he'll take care of us. And then when we leave this world and our spirit leaves this body, he will receive us into his kingdom for all eternity. So what do we have to fear? The only reason why we fear is because we have not tasted perfect love, as the scripture says. So let's go into this understanding and let's dive a little deeper to understand what Christ separated, what separated us, and what Christ did to bridge that gap, to bring us near the Father. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, starting with the 10th verse, to truly grasp and understand what Jesus did so we can have a better appreciation of what we have right now. Like I said, after Easter, the tomb is empty. It's been empty for a long time. What are we going to do with that good news? What are we going to do with it right now? So the writer of Hebrews says, by that we will have been, what's that word? Sanctified. Write that down. We're going to dive into it. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So the word sanctified, I love this word. It means to make holy, to set apart for God, to bring a consecration. And this is so important because we are sanctified through the blood of Jesus. So we've been made holy. And this holiness is not based on what we do. It's on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the moment you receive Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in him, you're made holy and you're redeemed. And it's not by what we can do. It's not by trying to cleanse ourselves. It's a gift. It is the gift of God. And we are made holy to stand before God. Now, when I look in the mirror, I don't see holiness. When you look in the mirror, you don't see holiness. What we see is this flesh. And what we see is how the flesh has its weaknesses and how it fails. But what we have to understand is this holiness we have is before God. So when God sees us, he sees you as holy through his Son. We can't earn this. We can't do anything to make ourselves holy in ourselves because the law revealed that. But what we do is we receive it through Jesus Christ. Another part of sanctification is we've been set apart. We were in this world, now we've been set apart out of the world for the purpose of the kingdom. And we have a positional holiness before God that we are accepted, cleansed, and set apart. And we are standing in that security before God in Jesus Christ. So that one word brings about all sorts of depth and understanding that really transforms this whole verse and into the verses that come after it. And the writer goes on to say, and every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So church, how many times in our own effort have we tried to stop the cycle of sin in our life by our own will and we fall short? How many times have we tried to cleanse ourselves by actions in doing things that we fall short? See, the only thing that can cleanse us, it's not anyone going before God for us or anything we do, it is what Jesus did. So we have to get out of the trap of trying to cleanse ourselves. Because salvation is not soap, that if I get dirty, I wash my hands with soap, and then I'm clean. Guess what? I'm just going to get dirty again. The blood of Jesus forever cleanses me and turns what was nasty and disgusting before God into purity and holiness that we cannot obtain ourselves. Because the writer goes on and says, but this man. I love that wording. It sounds a lot like Paul, right? But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. So Jesus offered himself, and he sat down the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And I love this verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Amen and amen. So what we have to put in our minds and imagine is this. They would go, the priest would go and offer the sacrifices to God in the form of animals. But those animals and those sacrifices could not take away sins. It just covered them until you sinned again, which was a frequent basis. Amen? So just think, to put ourselves in that system of the law, to put ourselves in that you would, something would have to die. An innocent animal would have to die so you and your family could go on living in the covenant with God. Because the law proved and it showed that God had to separate himself from man because of sin. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they were kicked out of the garden. They were separated from God. They could not be in God's presence. They could not have eternal life because of their sin. But God had a plan. And Jesus came forth out of that plan to bridge the gap. And what the law did, it symbolized God's holiness and where we fall short. Because the law says that we are sinners, and the law brings that out. You know, if you go through the law, it really is a bummer, amen? You really see how much we fail God. Because it's even the simplest things. Do not commit murder. But Jesus said, if you have hate in your heart towards someone else, that's the same as committing murder. Now, we are probably all have killed someone in our conscience, amen? Just driving to church, amen? You probably murdered many people in your thought life coming to church. The law says, do not steal. But Jesus said, if you covet in your heart what your neighbor has, that's the same as stealing. So how many of us have done that? We're all guilty. And that's what separates us from God. No effort, nothing I can do fills the gap. So what's the solution? It was Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb, laid down his life to bring us closer to the Father, and that when we stand before him, we're cleansed in the blood, and no one else can do that. You know, a lot of times we use church, and this can happen, the confusion of church can happen, that we use church as a means to gain holiness. That we think if I go to church and I'm a member of a church and I do all these things, I gain holiness. No, we gain holiness through Jesus Christ. I come to church because I want to be around like-minded people. I want to serve in his kingdom. I want to be about my Father's business. Amen? There's church in the process of our traditions does not cleanse us or make us holy, only through Jesus Christ. Mark 2:27, write this down, go back and study it. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for men, not man for the Sabbath. That's very important for us to understand. Very important for us to understand these traditions and these powerful things the Lord has given us. He's given us to remind us of what Jesus did. Not to serve them, but they serve a purpose in us to remind us of the promise and the power of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing can cleanse us but Jesus Christ. And he has forever sanctified us, perfected us, and made us holy. And we're being transformed into his image. One moment, one day at a time. To continue in verse 10, let's go to verse 19. The writer says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now, the writer is referring to the place in the temple that was called the most holy place. It was separated from man. There was a veil. There was the outer court, inner court, and then the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And only a priest could go in there on the Day of Atonement once a year, and they would tie a rope around his waist. They would put a bell around him because there were certain things he would have to do to purify himself to go before a holy God, and he would have to go in there, and if he did not do things according to what God said, he could be struck dead, and they would have to pull him out because they couldn't go in there themselves because the Spirit of God was so holy. You could only go in there and do things according to what God said and laid out, and if you messed up a little bit, you'd be struck dead. That was the holiness of God. And in the story where David was bringing the ark back into the kingdom of Israel, and it was starting to rock. Now, I forget the man who tried to stop it, but there was a man who put, the ark was starting to rock because David wasn't bringing it back in the proper way. So the ark was about to tip over and fall, and this man put his hand on it to stable it and stop it from hitting the ground, and that man was struck dead because his sinful nature touch the holiness of God, and sin cannot be before God. So it would have been better for the Ark of the Covenant to hit the ground and be in the dirt than for a sinful person to put their hand against it. That is the holy standard of God, and we have access to it by the blood of Jesus. So church, let's not take that for granted for one second. Because what couldn't be obtained before now is obtained through Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, "By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." That word consecrated means newly opened, made available, to open in a way that didn't exist before, to establish for the very first time. This is new. This is powerful. He pierced the veil through his own flesh. "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Church, you know what? What is sad to me as a pastor is I see so many people, us Christians, we're separated from God by mental obstacles and mental barriers. Because the enemy loves to come and tell you that you're not worthy of this gospel. You're not worthy to be with him. Religion puts burdens on us that are not of God. And we lose the sense of excitement and fellowship just to be in his presence. And we lose this idea of what church is. The church is not for the perfect, because none of us are. The church is not for those who have done everything right all week and come together and talk about how great we are. Amen? The church is for those who simply love the Lord and need him. The Bible is very clear. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of his glory. But God, and but now we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Church, I did everything to dirty myself before God. I did everything to dirty myself. He just didn't listen. He didn't take it. He didn't receive it. So here I am, teaching and preaching a gospel I never thought I was worthy enough to receive. I remember one Sunday in high school, my senior year, I never went to church once I hit a certain age. So my dad asked me to come to church that Sunday because they were doing a special service for the building they built. So I agreed. But of course, I stayed up all night doing things that stupid kids do. Got about 2 hours sleep. Walked in the back of the church. I was still drunk and sat in the very back row, hiding from everyone. I didn't want to be seen or heard. And I sat there, and I remember thinking, this church stuff is not for me. If I come to church, then I have to do certain things. I have to be in a certain mindset. This is not for me. And it was really in that moment I decided, maybe I've just, this church life and this stuff is for my dad, it's for my parents, but it's not for me. And it was years later the Lord began to transform my heart and bring me closer to Him. And I realized, you know what? It's only by the blood of Jesus that any of us can hold our head up before the Father. And I was determined as a pastor to share how important it is to come before God. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what problems you have, Jesus is the solution. We're not going to judge you here. We're not going to say you have to look a certain way, act a certain way. Now, we do ask you to do guns up every once in a while, amen? But this is a place where we all can be real. We don't put on the church mask. We don't act like everything's okay when it's not. We have real problems, but Jesus is the real solution. And he goes on and said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching. I find it very comical for a preacher's kid who did everything to avoid church. Now I'm preaching on how important church is. Amen? Isn't that how God works? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How much comes in between us and Sunday? Everything. If there's anything that can go wrong on Sunday morning, it will. The fact that you're here, you made that sacrifice, you made that time, and it's so important. Because when we do not forsake the assembling together, we are provoking each other to love and to the good work set before us by the Lord. Church is so important, we've forgotten how important it is. Being around other Christians is so important, we've replaced it with other things in the world. Because everything now gets in the way of the sacred time that we set before God every week. We want to have our life in order. We want to have all these things in place. If we would just give our God our time, tithe our time to Him, He'll set everything in order. That's how important this moment and this gathering is. Because we're telling God, you are more important than the things of this world. And maybe it is a sacrifice. Maybe we don't have to go to everything. Maybe we're sacrificing things to be in the house of God because Jesus sacrificed it all so we can have this access. And we can have this privilege of being around each other and being in this place because of what Jesus did. Church, the thing I want you to fully grasp and understand is that holiness does not come from what we do. It's come from what he did. When he was beaten, when he was rejected, when he endured suffering, when he said, "It is finished," then when he rose again on the third day and the ground shook and that stone was removed and Jesus walked out only carrying the scars on his hands and feet and his side as proof of what God did, of what he endured. Of that, Thomas touched his hands, touched his side, saw and believed. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who do not see and believe. You are that generation." We don't get to put our hands in the wounds. We don't get to put our hands in his side, but we get to be in his presence, and we get to have access to the Father because we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So church, this morning, what are we going to do with that access? What are we going to do with the privilege of being brought near the Father by this great sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Church, God loves you so much, he did not spare his son for you. He did not pull his son back. Jesus willingly laid down his life, and now we have the privilege of calling God Father. Let's pray. Father, show us and let us understand the beauty of your sacrifice. Let us understand the beauty of what it truly means to be brought near, to be brought near you by your blood. Lord, everyone here, Lord, is going through something or coming out of something or about to go into something. Lord, you know the situation of everyone here. You know what you have for them. Lord, let us see your plan. Lord, even though we try to determine our steps, Lord, we try to determine the way, but you guide us and you lead us. Lord, show us where to go. Show us the importance of this moment together, of gathering together in your name. Lord, we give it all to you and we give it back to you, Lord. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be brought near by your blood. Thank you for the access, Lord, and let's take advantage of that. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Amen, church. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Not our works, not our effort, but by the blood of Jesus. If there's one thing if I can get into you, it's by the blood. That's it. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. We truly love you in the Lord, church. You know, I kind of love these Sundays where it's kind of a smaller crowd. Now, in church culture, as a pastor, we don't say smaller, we say intimate. Amen. It's a more of an intimate crowd. Whether it's many of us or a few of us, he is amongst us. Amen. And this time together is so special. I look forward to it every single week because I get to spend it with the best people around. I get to share about our Lord and Savior and get encouraged for the week. So church, be encouraged. God's doing great things in your life. He will overcome all things. Come back next Sunday as we continue our study in Ephesians, because Sundays are better together and they're better with you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.